BP's earnings report shows earnings and a whole lot more.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States? The British oil giant BP has officially set Tony Hayward's departure date as CEO. He's going to leave that post on October 1st. The news came as part of the company's business earnings report for the past 3 months, a report that showed the Gulf of Mexico oil spill will cost the company $32 billion. But as the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports for Marketplace, BP's put a positive spin on its future business.
The well's capped and the oil's dispersing. The perfect time for Hayward to leave, says BP's chairman Carl Henriks Vanberg. He praised Hayward, but said it had been a mutual decision.
He is realistic and honorable, and we all came to the conclusion that in order to rebuild the reputation, in order to rebuild our leadership position, we needed fresh leadership.
Svanberg hasn't come out of this untainted either, after referring to Gulf Coast residents and business owners as small people. But he's sure he can win back the confidence of the US public. In its earnings report, BP put the price tag for the Gulf leak at $32 billion, and Svanberg admits the final bill could be higher.
It's, of course, a huge loss that overshadows everything else, but the underlying performance of the company is actually strong. It continues to be strong. We have strong assets around the world. We have strong cash flow.
Experts warn today that on top of all BP's other troubles, this could be one of the most expensive and drawn-out legal battles in US history. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Over the years, Chinese banks have made loans totaling more than $1 trillion to local governments throughout that country. Now, however, there is a problem. A central government audit shows 20% of that money may never be paid back. To give you an idea of how big a deal that is, if the same number of loans were bad here in the United States, it would spur another economic crisis. But China is a little different, as Marketplace's Shanghai Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
So how do Chinese banks have the money to write off all these bad loans? The truth is they really weren't loans in the first place.
What it really is disguised government spending.
Arthur Krober is an economist with Dragonomics, a research consultancy in Beijing. Banks here lent a record $1.4 trillion last year, and he says that when a local government can't pay back its debt, the central government will step in and take over the repayment. Even the fact that the bad loans will total more than $200 billion isn't much of a surprise, but it is important.
So clearly the profits of banks are going to go down. They're going to come under a little bit of capital pressure. Their stock prices will fall, and they will have a little less ability to lend new money because they're sitting on these losses.
And strangely enough, that's exactly what China's government wants. It's been clamping down on lending to slow the country's growth. This should help it a little. How's that for a planned economy? In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Shares were higher, or are higher, in Europe right now, helped by a couple of positive German reports, consumer confidence there, and Deutsche Bank earnings. Markets were mixed today in Asia. Wall Street yesterday, a report that said new home sales jumped in June, got markets jumping for joy. The Dow tacked on 100 points, about 1%, and a little more for the S&P and NASDAQ.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Every year, thousands of young people are diagnosed with diabetes. It can be tough to motivate kids with that disease to test their blood sugar levels. It's an inconvenience and gets in the way of their lives. But there's a new device that could make testing a little more tolerable. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports.
Jessie Holen is 12 years old. She has diabetes. About a dozen times a day, Jessie pricks her finger to test her blood sugar level. If it's too high or low, that can be a big health risk.
It's just hard to keep up with my testing because I like to be outside and I just forget about it sometimes because I don't want to, but I know it's something that I have to do.
To make testing more fun, the drug company Bayer is selling a new glucose meter called the Digit. It syncs with a Nintendo DS, you know, like a Game Boy. The Digit costs about $75. After Jessie tests her blood sugar level on the Digit meter, she plugs it into her Nintendo DS.
And then it's is just uploading it.
She gets points every time she tests, and also for having a good blood sugar level. Those points can be used in games.
And then you just get to unlock more stuff with the better numbers you get.
Jessie's mom, Beth, says the digit helps keep her daughter on track.
That's a huge incentive with kids being as techno-savvy and as video game related as they are now, because it will help them want to do it, and especially with the younger ones, I think.
Diabetes care is a huge market, and the digit is just one of several products that pairs good habits with gaming. Aaron Kowalski is a scientist at the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
If we can intervene early with good tools that help improve glucose control, not only will it help the patient, but I think it'll help healthcare costs.
More people are being diagnosed with diabetes every day, especially children. If Bayer establishes a relationship with kids through the digit device, it may have these customers for life. Les Funtleiter is a healthcare strategist at Miller Tabak.
Once people are comfortable and it's successful, they very rarely switch unless they absolutely have to. So it does become a question of customer loyalty.
If these products catch on with kids, winning that video game might mean more than a high score. It could mean a longer life. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, a group of French nuns is joining the ranks of recording artists over at Decca Records. The convent was chosen out of 70 others from around the world. Producers say they were impressed with the nuns' skills at Gregorian chant. The nuns' new CD, to be released in November, will be recorded at their convent in France. Now, Decca Records is also home to Lady Gaga and Eminem. And when they all get together, won't that be a fabulous holiday party? This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts and follow me on Twitter as well, Chiatakis MMR. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.